You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ian, look at this.
What, it's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? Hey, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. I feel it, do you feel it?
Faint vibration.
It's alive.
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating nearly 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. Hold tight. You never know where the TARDIS is going next.
Laugh hard. Run fast. Be kind. Doctor, I let you go.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Earth Station Who podcast. That's right, folks. We finally made it through Dragon Con and fully recovered, and we're back to talk more River Song. That's right, we are wrapping up our Summer of Song, and we are going to be talking about the Diaries of River Song Volume 2, or Season 2, and it's going to be a lot of fun. She actually meets two doctors this time, and has a lot of fun with the sixth and seventh doctor. Should be interesting to see what our thoughts are on it and such, but we have a great crew to join us with us. Of course, the one and only, and she seemed to have survived untouched, Mary Ogle.
Yay! Hi, everybody. I survived Dragon Con. Yay!
That's right. Your second one down. You're now a veteran.
Yeah, I still can't make my way through the hotels. I have no idea where the sky bridges are, but who cares?
Exactly.
It was fun. It was
you
great.
You had fun. And, you know, I don't know if it was them knowing that we were going to be there that scared the people away or what, but it was just seemed like...
I'm pretty sure it was us.
Of course it was. Of course it was. So, you know, or maybe they knew that Peter Capaldi was going to be there and he'd give him a nasty look or something like that.
He is very scary.
Oh, it was. And of course, Mr. Mike Gordon is here surviving Dragon Con.
Howdy. Yes, I survived yet my 25th Dragon Con in a row.
Wow.
Always a good time. Always a good time to see you, Mike, and Mary, of course. Adam, we got to get you there one of these days. Mm-hmm.
It was actually nice, all three of us being together.
Yes.
It's just great.
Awesome.
And Ada, our mission is going to have our next guest to be coming to Dragon Con from Yahoo Entertainment himself, Adam Lance Garcia. How are you, my friend?
I'm so happy to be here. I love you guys. And just an honor to be a part of this, talking about one of my favorite Diary of River Song volumes.
Have you heard all of them? Actually?
Oh, yes, I have. Okay. I spend most of my money on Big Finish. So,
That's why you live where you do. Okay, that explains so much. That totally explains a lot. But it's so great to have you here. It's been a while since we've actually had you on the show.
Yeah, it's been way too long.
That is good. How's life been for you? Are you doing okay? How's the wife and kids? No.
The wife and kids are great. No, it's been weird. I'm not going to lie. I wish I could go to Dragon Con. Hopefully one day soon I can convince Yahoo to fly me down because you guys seem to have all the fun. It's a lot. And speaking as someone who's been to San Diego Comic Con, I think you guys have a lot more fun.
It's a different type of con, as we like to tell people, but we'll be talking all about that on the Dragon Con report, which will be out next week. So, you know, look for it on your network feeds or your podcast feeds, because this will be our final Dragon Con report of the season. And we got everyone fully recovered, hopefully. And, you know, I know some people still are fighting con crud. So it should be interesting to get stories from it and adventures, because there's always, you know, interesting things to talk about Dragon Con. But of course, we want to hear from you at home. Please write us at eswpodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. Definitely would like to talk to you guys. And thank you for everyone who downloaded our Dragon Con episode, the last one we did of Earth Station Who, where we talked all about Peter Capaldi. and he had a blast actually at Dragon Con. Man, it was just amazing to see him just walk right past you and smiling and talking to people. And it was like, wait a minute, that was, I thought it was a Peter Capaldi cosplay, but no, it was him. It was pretty decent to see. And it's just,
he was everywhere. He went to parties, he showed up at panels.
It was just amazing. It was just everywhere, you know. Seeing him with the pictures from the Planet of the Apes panel that Joe Crow did, it was just like awesome. And it was just like him posing, because the green room for the celebrities was right across from where the classic track was. And basically, Peter Capaldi was being taken there by his handler. And Capaldi peeked into the room as with the door open. He saw people in cosplaying as Planet of the Apes. And he ran in. And then he was in his handler came up behind him and was like, wait, where did you go? And he said, apes, they have apes here. And it was just awesome.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah. So it's just awesome. He, like Mary said, he was everywhere at the con. And, you know, also I know Pearl Malky was different events she went to. It was just pretty darn awesome to see the people from, you know, Doctor Who having such a great time. Maybe we'll get more. It's just, you know, it's pretty decent to see that kind of stuff. And the people's reactions, the fans, it's just great, the atmosphere it does. And I'm really looking forward to talking about it all on the Dragon Con report next week. So definitely let's get started. We have a season premiere of Doctor Who. Gosh, what, less than 3 weeks away now, folks. And our next episode is going to be the season premiere of Doctor Who. Can't believe it's finally here.
That is so awesome.
I know. It seems like
so excited to meet her. Like, I just am so excited for her Doctor.
I know. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of Doctor she's going to be, who she's going to, you know, what doctors we're going to see in her, what doctors, you know, her paving her way as her own doctor. I think it's going to be awesome.
I love the BBC's tagline, promotional tagline. It's about time. It's such a, like, it has so many meanings that it's just, and it's very exciting. Very exciting.
Exactly. It's going to be a whole new era of Doctor Who. And, you know, by this point, you know, less than 3 weeks away from the show, we've probably had sneak peeks of what the intro is going to look like or what the new theme is going to sound like. We haven't gotten any of that yet. And
yeah, it's pretty exciting. And they've announced the episode titles for the first two episodes, and we have synopses of those. And it's just, I can't wait.
Mary's doing a happy dance down in Florida right now.
I am.
That is cool. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, you know, interesting. It's going to be neat that it's going to be on Sunday nights now. So, you know, that's a new twist for it. And has BBC America actually come out and announced that they're showing it still the same day?
Yeah, they have. It's going to be airing date. I don't think it's day and date, or like it's not going to be like the same time as England, but it's going to be the same day. So it's like 9 p.m. on October 7th.
Okay, cool. Oh, no, I didn't expect it to be the same time, because that would be like 2 in the afternoon.
I think it is actually the same time, but then they're going to replay it in the regular time slot.
Interesting.
Because they said they were going to simulcast.
For the first episode all the way?
Yeah, just the first episode.
Okay. And I hope they don't do what they've done in the past, where the second showing they've edited parts out.
Don't do that, BBC America.
No.
Yeah. Mary is correct. I have it right here. It's going to be aired at the same time, and then it's going to be a regular primetime viewing later. So they'll do an encore presentation at the regular time.
Okay. Well, I'm sure if you have your DVR set for Doctor Who, it's, you know, going to pick up the actual first showing of it. Knock on wood. And, you know, if you're ever DVRing anything, always have it, you know, go like 15 minutes later, just in case, you know, it's something, you know, that goes extra, if there's a delay, you know, sometimes, you know, in the past, you know, they haven't started it right on time because they've had live presentations, you know, leading into Doctor Who or stuff like that. So, you know, better safe than sorry in a lot of ways. I do that actually with most of my shows, so I get to see what's on afterwards. So a lot of times if I'm watching like Flash or Arrow and one of the other superhero shows is on afterwards, I have to stop it real quick so I don't get spoiled. So, but it's kind of cool. So, all right, that is awesome. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about the next episode because it's a series premiere. And, you know, friends of ours in the UK are going to get it a little bit before us. They've announced that BBC is actually having the premiere of the new series is being held at the Moor Sheffield on Monday, the 21st of September. And it should be, you know, with the fans and the cast, like a red carpet event. And it should be kind of interesting to see. So it should be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it. Mikey, any thoughts?
No, I'm, you know, I wish I was in the UK so I could see it sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's just one of the other reasons that I wish I was in the UK. I like, you know, I'd love to go back to the UK anyway, but, no, that's, look, I'm excited. This is going to be very amazing. And I can't believe we're just like this close to it already.
It always seemed so forever. It was like, oh, this is taking forever. It felt like William, like he was a little kid. How far do we have to go? A mile? Oh, that's forever.
Exactly. Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Exactly. Calling Chris.
I fully expect to cry. Really? I'm sorry to jump. Yeah, no, because I definitely got misty-eyed when she regenerated, because it's like one of those moments where you're like, oh my god, what this means for so many people, and you're just like, this is happening, this is real. It's like, so I mean don't get me wrong, I cry if the cat walks in the room and I'm like, oh my god, it's a cat. So I cry easily, but I'm very, very excited, and I'm probably going to be emotional watching her.
That's a good thing. There was an article in the New York Times today about Doctor Who, and I thought, wow, we have really come a long way.
Oh, exactly. Baby.
It's like a Virginia Slims ad.
Why, we're dating ourselves now.
Well, it's interesting because I know BBC America here in the States is showing, I think, starting the week before. They're starting with the Chris Eccleston episodes and running every single episode, including all the Christmas specials, all the way through.
Yep. They're showing a bunch of new Who.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be fun. And, you know, you can probably catch a lot of the stuff. But we definitely are excited about a lot of things that are going on. We have just so much Doctor Who happening right now. And, you know, a lot of new Big Finish, a lot of even with David Tennant, Big Finish. We have, you know, there's even talk that, you know, there's rumors going around that Matt Smith is going to be starting doing some Big Finish stuff.
Oh, please. That'd be so awesome.
So, you know, that's awesome. So, yeah, we've got some pretty darn amazing stuff coming down the line. And you know what? For folks who are naysayers and everything, watch the first episode. I almost guarantee you're going to be amazed with this lady's performance. I think she's going to win a lot of people over. So I think it's going to be an awesome thing. So let's, you know, take a break, and we will be back in a moment, and we are going to be talking all about the Diaries of River Song.
Do you like movies? Do you like TV? Do you like discussing the temporal effects of non-linear time travel and its implication on the plot of the movie Looper?
Okay. Do you enjoy the latest in pop culture news? Do you enjoy superheroes?
Do you enjoy discussing the relative merits of superpowers and their effects on human physiology?
Anyways, if you enjoy these things, even a small amount, you'll love the Rusted Robot Podcast.
Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, YouTube, and make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Subscribe so you never miss an episode.
TheRustedRobot.podbean.com.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right. We're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as $1 a month. Don't fret. All your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but now you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign up for the ESO Network Patreon's easy. All you have to do is click on the link on the top navigation of the ESO Network website or go to patreon.com/ESO Network. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards. Okay, kids, we're going back to the wilds of 2016 when we look at Series 2 of The Diaries of River Song, Series 2. And you know what? Right from the start, you get full River, but right away you get her meeting Dr. 6 and 7. It's just awesome. And the chemistry between her and the doctors were just amazing, and certain ones worked better than others, and the stories were all tied together through, you know, the destruction of Earth, and it was an interesting story for her to do. It was a lot different than I thought season one. And you know, what did you guys think? Did you guys like it? Did you not? Where did you guys go with it? Did you follow it?
I liked it overall, but to be really honest with you, I'm not sure I liked it quite as much as season one. And I'm not sure exactly why. I think it's the third story that gets me the most, which is funny because I think it was also the third story that I didn't like on series one. And I don't know. I didn't really like Colin Baker, which is strange because I usually love Colin on Big Finish. But that one just kind of fell flat to me. However, I will say that the one before that, 529, it just haunts me to this day.
Oh, I mean, that one very was much
just,
so.
Yeah, that one was just River with no doctor, but it was just so heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking, but also in some ways it was enlightening in some ways, showing human spirit at its best.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you felt for that older couple. And, you know, literally, they were the last of humanity. And
those performances were fantastic. Oh, I mean, yeah. They really drew you in.
Mm-hmm. I was impressed. What about you guys?
It's funny because this is actually my personal favorite series of the first – my personal favorite volume of the series so far. And I've listened to all the ones that have been released. For me, sort of counterpoint to Mary, it's like I love Colin Baker and Big Finish just like she does, and I loved him in this series. And my favorite aspect of this particular box set is the just very different relationships River has with the two doctors. I love the sort of slightly antagonistic, sort of distrustful relationship she has with Seven in the first episode. I love the fact that the sixth doctor is almost enraptured by her and she by him. I just found it like just, wow, they're flirting. And this really, for me, felt very right. I'm like, of course, especially the way that Big Finish has grown Colin Baker's doctor. Like, this is, of course, how he would react to someone like River. And then it's always interesting how much Six and Seven, just by virtue of working with Big Finish over the last however many years, have had probably the most interactions between two doctors than, as far as I know, any other. And I think they always have a really interesting, combative relationship. So seeing that, in addition to seeing River's relationship with the both of them, it really just blew my mind. I love the fact when they actually kiss, when Six and River kiss. And I also love how the fourth episode ends, where they're together and she has to kiss him goodbye. And she's actually kind of sad that it has to end here. And then the next thing she does and goes to the seventh doctor. And it's just really just like, he's so suspicious of her and just trying to figure out who she is, and she won't give him that. It's, yeah, I, when I saw this come up as the one we were talking about today, I was like, I have to talk about this. I love this one so much.
Yeah, I do have to say, I do like the relationship between River and both doctors. I'm not sure that's the part that maybe it's more the story for number three that just didn't work for me. But the relationship with the doctors is fantastic, and the ending is actually fantastic, where she's like in this chess game with her and Seven. You know, trying, you know, circling around each other, trying to figure out who's gonna, you know, give it up first, and you know, finally she just kind of hits him over the head, gives up and hits him over the head, and it's, you know, it's hilarious. But the performances throughout this whole series are just fantastic. I mean, Big Finish just gets great actors from the more, you know, the co-stars to the stars. I mean, it really draws you into the story, and I totally appreciate that.
Yeah, I am so inspired by what they do there. Like, they do so much with so little, and they've inspired me to do my own audio dramas, because it's like, I just want to do what they're doing. And, you know, you mentioned the second story, 529, and it's like, that's only four characters. It's four characters and maybe a little bit extra, but what they do with such a small cast is always, always impressive and moving in ways that I never thought you could get out of an audio drama.
It was moving. It was powerful. And I agree with you guys. Actually, for me, Sylvester's doctor worked so much more in this one. I felt a little bit let down by Collins. I thought Colin really was just like almost like a supporting character in it. And while I thought, you know, it was River and Dr. Seven, that was like you guys said, playing chess against each other, moving and shifting. And it was just really well done. And even all the way up to the end in that storyline where, you know, Sylvester's doctor pretty much handcuffs her into the cabinet. And it's just like awesome. And I love how she says, now you have the handcuffs. This is not our kind of date. I'm usually the one. And that was just awesome.
They leave her in the Tower of London.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It was just awesome. And there was so much fun little chit-chat between those two. And especially at the very end, you know, how he wanted to find out who she was. And he would not, you know, bow. You know, he wouldn't eat the crumpet. He wouldn't drink the tea. And then she had to just smack him over the head, you know. That was just so awesome. And it's just it's amazing to me, just like how well it all worked. And Alex Kingston could do no wrong in these stories. It was just awesome.
Yeah, Alex was fantastic all the way through.
Yeah, I think that one thing that Big Finish is really good at, and this for me, this box, it kind of exemplifies like understanding or using Doctor Who and all the various things that it sets up to its full potential. It's like, so you have River Song, and she's clearly met all the other doctors, and showing it in a way that you don't really expect. It's just, you couldn't get this on TV, but Big Finish is able to do it so seamlessly and so beautifully is always impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting. Alex Kingston has said that she was more comfortable on this series than in the first one. She wasn't quite sure what you know was expected of her and how to act in these type of audio dramas, and she was just kind of figuring it out. And this time, she just really felt a lot more comfortable with her character and what she could do with this kind of acting, and it shows. I mean, she's really in command here. She's just, she is, you know, they let her go, and it's fantastic.
That's her series, and she's the star, definitely, of all these, and that's great. for me, series two, I'm sort of leaning more towards Mary's side, where I don't think it's as strong for me as series one. And most people who know me and listen to Earth Station Who are probably not surprised, because they seem to, I don't have it in for the sixth and seventh, but I've made it pretty clear that that era is not my favorite. So, but it's not the issue here. In fact, I agree with most everybody that the interplay between them, between Colin and Sylvester, is just phenomenal. And I think we've established, though, I think it pretty much goes without saying, like, you know, Alex has great chemistry with just everybody. I mean, she just does. You give her the material to work with, and it's just great fun. So seeing her go through all these doctors and having different relationships with them and meeting some of the incarnations for the first time is exciting. But I will have to say that my favorite story in this is the one where there's no doctors in it at all. It's just River. You guys have already mentioned 529, and it is a standout, I think, of the four, just because it's a great performance piece by everybody involved. And it doesn't need like a gimmick. It doesn't need a doctor. And I kind of wish that, you know, we'd kind of gotten a little bit more, and it's funny because I haven't listened to the other series, but I see that, you know, through the next few series, it's like there's somebody like a doctor or, you know, in almost every story that comes after this. And I kind of wish that there would be more solo stories of her, just because I think sometimes they feel like they need to, you know, have a gimmick or do like something, some reference to something when they do have a scene between her and the doctor. So you don't need that necessarily. I mean, she's strong enough that she can have her own adventures. And I like the first two stories, The Unknown and 525, a lot. World Enough in Time starts. That's the one where I'm like, I like the performance of everybody, but I feel like the sixth doctor comes across as an utter boob, like just like not really being aware of anything and not really doing anything to help the situation at all. And he's almost even more useless in the fourth episode. It doesn't really do him much credit as a character in either of those stories. And I it's weird coming from me because I'm not a big sixth doctor fan, but I'm like, it just doesn't feel like he gets any moments at all where he seems even halfway competent. And I'm like, is this supposed to be during a time where he just is not doing good stuff? Especially in a series where you're so used to, I mean, as we're so used to when the doctor's leading his own stories, he's like the man. He's like the man in the room, like that knows everything. And Colin's doctor, and unfortunately, just doesn't seem to know anything in any of these stories, which just, like I said, threw me off. And by the time they try to work a villain into what's going on and an alien race, at that point, it just falls to pieces. Like there's just nothing there that they can really hold on to. There's nobody there that you can really like there's no foe there that's really worthy of anybody who's in this. And so when Eye of the Storm comes, it's just kind of this mishmash. They try to tie up everything together, but then they're introducing new characters, and it just doesn't work for me. It really doesn't. So I kind of felt like the second half of this series really just dropped the ball, whereas the first half had so much potential. I mean, I like The Unknown a lot, and then 529 was just amazing. And then, like I said, it falls to pieces to me.
It's interesting too, because I had to listen to the fourth part twice, because I was like listening to it the first time trying to figure out what the heck Colin's doctor was trying to do in the story, and, you know, trying to bring the couple together. And it was like, what? That didn't make sense. Yeah, it made sense with him trying to do the sacrifice to the beast with his chronal energy, but the rest of it just didn't make sense. It's like, oh, well, we have to put another doctor in. Let's throw Colin's doctor in. And, you know, but that's not how I've expected him in other big Finnish stories or appreciated him even on his TV shows. And he, like you said, Mike, the doctor, no matter what incarnation, is always the smartest guy in the room, or girl now, you know. So, you know, it just all depends. And I didn't get that from this story at all. He was being used as part of in the third part completely. And like you said, it was I don't know if it was the writing. Colin did a great job as always, but it just didn't fit where Sylvester's doctor felt right on point.
Yeah, well, I think it was the writing. I mean, I've had the same reaction as Mike, that it just kind of fell apart in the third story for me. And, you know, the more I think about it, it's not Colin's performance. It's the way the Sixth Doctor was written. And he just comes across as a fool. You know, he's just completely taken in.
I think that's all the criticism is fair, because obviously I'm the outlier, I think, in this. And I think for me, why I really enjoy this story so much is because of the relationships between the three primary characters.
Sure.
And I think, to your point about the writing, I think they probably did a little bit to the Sixth Doctor. They wrote him in such a way that they could have that relationship with River Song. And while that worked for me personally, because I just really liked seeing them in that way, I can understand why it doesn't work for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem with, like, when they're interacting. It's just when they're not interacting. like that's like, and you know, I do like, you know, I mean, he does go, like, I, you know, I thought we were going to have that doctor moment when he goes in and they're having, in the third episode, when they're having the meeting. And I'm like, okay, here's where the doctor's going to barge in, and he's going to, and he did actually say, like, you know, he's like, he had sold all his shares so that the people that were, like, you know, incapacitated, they were the ones, or the people that were in the dream cells or pods, those were the ones that are now owners or co-owners of this whole thing. But in the end, that didn't matter. Like, I thought, okay, the doctor's done his bit. He's come in, he's had a solution. This is what he does. And they just found a way to write it so that it didn't matter at all. And I was like, that seems to be kind of weird. Like, it fell flat to me. And then by the time we get to the fourth episode, I like the fact that both doctors were at cross purposes of what they were doing with the couple, but I guess it wasn't written strong enough for me. And I don't know if I really cared about the couple enough that it made it that compelling for me.
Well, they did not establish the couple as characters as well as they should have, in my opinion.
I'm going to sound maybe a little ignorant here, but is the couple, are they a real couple from history?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if there was something that I wasn't getting. Like, I should already know who these people are.
Yeah, no, well, and they were erased from history, so it doesn't matter.
Well, that's what I thought. I'm like, are they erasing some people, important people from history?
Well, it's the same thing. Was that writer, is that a real author? The one,
right.
She was in prison with.
Yeah.
And then she was with at the very end.
Is he?
No, that was a real author.
That was a real one, right?
Yeah. Yes, that was a real author. I don't think the couple was real, though. And I, you know, contrast them with the couple in 529. I mean, you cared what happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but by the time you get to this other couple, you're just like, okay.
I'm really excited to see that John Dorney, who wrote the second episode, has episodes in the other series for the Diary of River Song. Cause I'm like, okay, well, that's the one I'm watching. Like, that's the one I'm looking for. That's the episode I'm going to look forward to, because I thought he did a spectacular job.
Yeah. John Dorney is definitely one of their stronger writers. I mean, whenever he puts something in, I don't think I've really ever been disappointed by him.
Nice.
And I'll say this, like, I don't want to give spoilers, but, like, the next two episodes, so the next one has the Fifth Doctor, and the one after that has the Fourth Doctor, they tend to lean a bit more towards the format of the first season, in that the Doctor doesn't necessarily feature as prominently, they have like maybe an episode or two episodes in there, or like a cameo in one and a feature part in the second one. It's less I think this one is more of an aberration because they had two doctors in the box set.
Sure. So they gotcha. Yeah, I was kind of worried because, you know, it says, like, the fifth doctor's in all four, and I'm like, man, is it just a team-up? Like, is she a companion to him? Like, or what, you know? Or is he a companion to her?
Dun, yeah. Dun, dun.
I can't remember anymore. Like, I'm looking at it now. I'm like, he's just sort of, like, in it. After I left the third season, I was like, yeah, this is fine. It's also, I'm not a big fan of the fifth Doctor. He's probably one of my least favorite. The Peter Davison is a very nice guy, you know, I'm sure. But, like, his Doctor is not the one that I will listen to, especially on Big Finish. I find that Big Finish does a better job with Paul McCann's Doctor, Colin Baker, and Sylvester McCoy's. Like, those... And oh, of course, Tom Baker. But I feel like Tom Baker's an outlier because Tom Baker is just
Tom Baker.
No, he's just doing what he's always been doing. He's always consistent. He's always fun as a doctor. All of his stories are enjoyable. I've yet to be really disappointed by his run, but I think that McCoy. Colin Baker and McGann have benefited the most from Big Finish, whereas you could argue that Tom Baker has just been consistent with his run. But one thing is for sure, he loves working for Big Finish. Every interview he does, he's like, I'm so happy. I love doing this. And you're just like, we know. You can stop telling us, but I'm so happy. You're like, we get it, Tom. We get it.
And you know what? I mean, series four, that last episode, which is written by John Dorney, which features the fourth Doctor. I'm like, that my expectations are like incredibly high for that episode now. So I'm hoping that I'm not going to be too excited for it when I eventually get around to it. But no, I mean, more for, you know, as far as series two goes, it's not like it's a wasted effort or wasted pounds in terms of buying this set. But I do think like you guys all pointed out that, I mean, you guys were all talking about the interplay between the characters was amazing. And that's true. That is true. And for that in and of itself, you know, that is awesome, and there's some really great moments in here. So if you are a fan of River kind of, you know, working her way through all the incarnations, then you will not be disappointed. But as far as, like, just, you know, story-wise and some of the other stuff that's going on, the first two episodes are really outstanding. But I must say that the other two just, like, especially when they try to tie it all together, I don't know, maybe it's because surely it's written like there's a main writer that kind of helps thread those stories together, but it didn't feel like it.
Yeah, that I think that's on this one was Matt Fitton. He's the script editor, I believe, on this series.
I do notice that he's so consistent through all these too.
Yeah,
like he was in the first one, in second one, third one, fourth one. So he contributes to all these as well.
Yeah, he's I don't know how much, but I like proportionally, but he does a lot of script editing on a lot of the new stuff that like sort of leans towards newer series. I think he's script editing the Eighth Doctor's Time War or Ravenous. I can't remember. I know he's been there for a while, but I listen to a lot of Big Finish guys. I really like, I'm not sure if I've underlined that enough, but like I've started running recently, and I'm actually more excited to listen to Big Finish. It's like, it's an excuse to like, I have now an hour and a half or more to listen to Big Finish. It is literally like one of my most favorite things. Like it for me, and I literally went on a Twitter rant about how much I love Big Finish recently. Because I was like in the mood, like leading up to this podcast, I was just thinking about how much I love about it. I discovered Big Finish because of the 50th anniversary. They were doing The Light at the End, and I was really starting to get into Doctor Who around then. I liked Doctor Who a lot. I was falling in love with it. I kind of fell in love with it around Matt Smith. But I was getting being passionate to like just deep dive Whovian around the 50th anniversary, because I just loved exploring this universe and these worlds. And I'm like, oh, let me listen to Light at the End. And I really enjoyed it. Yeah. And I was like, let me listen to Paul McGann, because I really want to hear about these Eighth Doctor stories. And then sure enough, it was effectively canonized. So then I went nuts. I listened to everything Eighth Doctor. I'm like, all right, let me listen to everything Sixth Doctor. All right, let me listen to everything Seventh Doctor. All right, oh no, now Tortured is here too. Great, I'll listen to Tortured. I'll listen to Jenny. Jenny's okay. The one with Georgia Moffat. Though I might have been giggling like a schoolboy at the end of that season. And I listened to I listened to the Fourth River Song series this week or last week. I can't remember. Let's say it was last week.
Yeah, because it just came out.
It's just literally like I timed these things. So I was like, all right, done with that one. Now it's River Song. I will say that when the Fourth Doctor shows up, and this I'm not going to tell you why, but I started giggling so loud. I was in the office. I was like walking around. I was like, oh no, I have to stop now. I'm too excited. I had to save it and I literally rewound it so I could listen to it again. So the point of the story is, guys, I really like Big Finish.
As well, really? You said, they
couldn't
are
tell
incredible.
Adam.
They are absolutely incredible. I mean, we reviewed quite a number of them here, and I think we've been pretty happy with almost everyone that we've listened to. I can't think of one that was a real stinker.
I'll say which one's terrible. The one with the one that I think I hate. It's a Paul McGann story. It's one of the on the main range, and it's the one where he meets the Brigadier, and it takes place in this like fictional 51st state, which is like ostensibly like Western Georgia, and it's called Malbosia, and it's like the worst Southern accent you've ever heard by the villain, and like there's a devil or something. It's the worst.
Okay, so all right, so we have it on record that Adam doesn't love every single one of the Big Finish stories.
Yes, now I yes.
Wait, okay, so now we got the scale.
Well, there you go. That is awesome, guys. That is awesome. So let's go ahead, rate these 1 out of 5 TARDISes, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best. Mikey, you go first.
Well, if we're doing it as a whole, like the whole, all 4 together, I'm going to have to go with probably a 3.5. If we're doing them individually, I'm going to give a 4.5 to actually, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to give it a 5. I'll give 529 a 5. That's might be one of the best Big Finish stories I've heard, period, since I've been listening to them myself. So, and the performances are all amazing. And it's one that I don't think you need any of the others, like 1, 3, and 4, to grasp. I think you can just listen to that one on its own. But that one was outstanding. It's probably the best one I've heard since. So I will give that one a 5.
That's awesome. Adam?
I will say I'll give it a overall 4.5. Because I think there's story issues that were raised in this discussion that are fair, but I am weighting it heavily because of the second episode, which was, as we've discussed, is fantastic, and the relationships and the performances that sort of allow me to kind of ignore any story issues just for pure Whovian enjoyment.
Okay. That's awesome, man. And Mary?
I will give it a 3.5. I mean, there's a lot to like here. The characterizations are fantastic. The performances are fantastic. $5.29 alone is worth buying this box set. I mean, this series. But I do think there are some real writing issues on the last two episodes. I think they kind of lost their way, and then they just started throwing everything in the kitchen sink in it to try to save it, and it didn't really work. But overall, you know, it's fun, and I would still recommend it. So yeah, I think a 3.5.
Okay, all right, me. I'm gonna have to probably give this one a 3.5. Also, the series started real strong, and agreeing with Mike, if I had to rate those two episodes, probably a 5 for both of those. But then I think it goes off the tracks, and I think they lose their way in a lot of different areas. You know, there's things that save it from going any lower for me. And I think Alex's performance and Sylvester's performances are excellent. And, you know, those I would give a 10 if I could. But, you know, it's just awesome. And I love Sylvester with the rolling R's. It's just like, it's just awesome. I just love how he does that. It's just like, and it's just his.
No one can roll their R's like Sylvester McCoy.
No, not at all. And it's just awesome. And it makes me remember back then why he was my favorite doctor for quite a long time. And he, you know, he is charming, he's fun, and he has a very dark side to him. And I love how they played up on it on this. And I did enjoy that quite a bit. So, you know, I'm going to stick with my 3.5, but we definitely want to hear from you at home. What did you think? Write us at eswpodcast@gmail.com and let us know. What's up?
Two notes for me. Obviously, I think it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Alex Kingston always will get a 10 for me. So that's, unless she's an arrow, then that's not happening. But yeah, she is, I agree with you, Mike. She gets 10. And also, I had forgotten from the first series, the James Bond-esque Mew theme song that they've given her, which was just like, I have still ringing in my head from days ago. That is a catchy little ditty. I'm still not sure I equate it completely with River Song, but I appreciate it. It's pretty powerful. When it comes on, it's like, it's like, wow, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I had forgotten all about it, though. It wasn't until I was started listening to the first episode and it just kind of rolled into it. And I was like, oh, here we go. That's right.
It's time for River Song's Grand Adventures.
But the production values on Big Finish continue to be the best. The best.
Mm-hmm. It's also impressive how, like, they started with literally, like, God, I can't remember her name now. Lisa Bowerman, who plays Bernice Summerfield, said they started with literally a microphone in a room. And the fact that they've grown from there is really impressive.
Absolutely.
Nope, it's pretty darn awesome. I'm really impressed with what they do over and over again. And probably, you know, we have enough time after the season's over to be able to probably look at season 3 of River Song. So most likely we will. So get ready, folks. So as we said, we gave you the email address. We definitely want to hear from you guys. We will be back. We're taking a small little break. We're taking the 3 weeks off to prepare for the new season of Doctor Who. And as we squeed at the beginning of the show, we are all really excited about it. So we'll be back then. Let's thank our guests real quick. Adam, thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure, my friend.
Do you have any way that people can get in touch with you if you want?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Lance Garcia, or you could follow any of my work on Yahoo Entertainment. I've post videos there pretty frequently, and hopefully on October 5th, you could see me on AOL Build discussing a certain show about a doctor who travels in times and space. And I might be talking with someone about that. And that's all I can say for now.
That's all you should say for that. There you go. And
it's about time.
Exactly. Exactly. It's about time. And of course, let's thank our co-hosts for this week. Mary, it's always awesome.
Oh, thank you. It's awesome for me too. I love talking about River Song anytime.
It's always great. Anything you want to promote?
Well, if anyone's interested in my artwork, they can go to maryogle.com or find me on Etsy under eVision Arts, and also go to the ESO podcast site and read my write-ups of Dragon Con, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Still recovering in some ways. And then again, yes. Then again, in other ways, you never really truly fully recover. That is awesome. And, of course, Mr. Mike.
As always, it's my pleasure, especially since we've done, you know, a whole summer of Song, one of my favorite characters in all of Doctor Who, and maybe even outside of Doctor Who. She's just awesome, and I think we've had a great time overall. It wasn't a planned thing, but boy, it just kind of, we fell into it, and it's been really fun revisiting her adventures, both on the actual show and gave me an excuse to finally start listening again to some of these Big Finish adventures. So I'm glad. I hope everybody else has enjoyed our look at River as well.
Well, it was either doing the Summer of Song or the Summer of Perry, and I think I know what went out.
At least it wasn't the summer of. Oh, I just lost it. Never mind. Sorry.
Okay. Now, even and worse. Now for the autumn of Adric.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
No. Okay. I'm out of here. You know, oh, man. I'm hurting on that one. That was just like ice pick right between my eyes. Good night, folks. We'll see you in a couple weeks. We're done. Bye. And that's it.
That was a good out, Mary.
You have been listening to Earth Station Who, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talents from across the universe. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individual and are used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our podcast up on iTunes, Stitcher, or follow our blog at www.esopodcast.com. You can also follow us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. If you enjoyed the show, please leave feedback up on iTunes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.